This week's episode is brought to you by us. We're the hosts of the podcast, creators, executive producers, directors, social media managers, copywriters, supporters. What else do we do?
Payroll.
HR.
HR.
We definitely need to talk to the HR department. There is some...
I got a report to make.
There's quite a bit of inappropriate behavior that goes on behind the scenes, and we need to address it because oftentimes there's a lot of butt grabbing that goes on. What else?
What else do you want to confess to?
Okay, anyways. but no, this episode is brought to you by us. And if you want to support the podcast, which we would greatly appreciate it, there's a lot of ways that you can do that. We have a list of sponsors on our website. If you go to energyislovepodcast.com, you'll see them all there. There's a tab up top that says sponsors. We made it easy and convenient and self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. And when you click on that tab, there's a lot of companies that we have partnered with that you go and purchase some of their products and you save some money. And in turn, we get a portion of that. And anything that we actually get via those sources, we spend on gambling and cocaine.
Jesus.
It goes right back into the podcast, not via cocaine. It helps.
Or gambling.
It helps in the ongoing costs associated with the show and producing the show and putting it out. You can also just directly support the podcast. You can directly donate. There's a button to do that on the website. You'll see that as well. And if you don't want to give us money, that's understandable. We don't give any other podcasts money, although we consume a lot of podcasts. So we get that. And another way that you can support us is by sharing the show and telling people about the show so that more people listen and more people find the podcast. Go follow us on Instagram, social media places. We are only on Instagram and Facebook. And you can also subscribe on YouTube and all those other things. Leave us a review wherever you listen. That also helps, and that's a big support. Anything else that you can think of?
Yeah.
Send us money, honey. This was a good episode.
Yeah.
I thought, didn't you?
Yeah.
We've got some trigger warnings right off the bat.
Drug addiction.
Sexual assault. There's a little bit of that on the top of the episode. And then we get into what you can do as an individual person on this planet full of 8 billion people to help affect change. And it's not what you might think it is. Or maybe it is. I don't know.
Maybe it is.
But stay tuned and find out. Here we go with episode 250, Mother Huggin' 3 of the podcast.
You're listening to the Energy is Love podcast.
I've decided something.
What is that?
It's one of these things that I think that we need to implement immediately.
What is it? Tell me.
Have you seen how fun some couples are on
online? Next to us? So I don't know.
Like the on Instagram or the ticks, the ticky talks.
Oh, those couples where the guy gets the girl's jokes and like laughs because she's cute.
I haven't found one of those yet. no, I got caught up in a little bit of a rabbit hole watching this this account. I don't even know who the fuck they are.
Okay.
The guy's a police officer, but all their reels are surprising each other in fun and kind of different ways with those party poppers, like the big ones, the tubes that you pop and then the confetti goes everywhere. So it's like
he like threw something at one of them, so she thought he was coming around the corner. Uh-huh. And he was like, ha, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are cute.
I know. I think we're that type of fun couple.
We are. We need to... And we would catch that if somebody would have implemented the GoPro following us around like somebody suggested. But somebody is yet to implement that. Because we are that.
Okay. What would our fun thing be, though? Do you think?
All of it.
All of
just
it?
Just us. We're fun.
We are fun.
We're fun. I'm fun.
I would have so much fun. Yeah. It could just be a channel of surprising you because you're so easily surprised.
Do you mean like surprised as in, or surprised as in, ah?
Both.
Like startle, yeah?
Both, yeah. You're so easy to startle.
And, you're so easy to startle.
Not as easy as you.
That's fair.
You're way easier than I am.
That was could have been phrased maybe a different way.
I'm just talking about startling. You startle way easier than I do.
I do startle. It's because I'm traumatized.
By all the startling all I've done over there. No. Time.
No, I actually encourage you to startle me more. You don't like to startle, though. You like to scare me. And there's a difference between startling and terrifying.
And scaring.
Yeah, you scare me. You're good at it. I'm like, startle me because it's fun. I like the hurrahs. Sometimes.
I could scare you right now. Should we show the people how easily you are scared?
I'm closing my eyes. No.
You can keep your eyes closed.
No, I'm closing my ears. I can still scare you with your eyes. I'm taking the headphones off so I can't hear.
Do everything that you think you need to.
No.
It won't change.
I don't want to do this.
Okay.
I'm going to make fun of me.
See? It would be a fun Instagram account. Maybe we'll start sharing more of startling each other or.
We should.
I just think we're a really fun couple.
We are. You...
It's a scam,
yeah,
likely.
It is. I was just, because I told her to. You have a catchphrase when you get startled.
What is it?
Fuck, motherfuck.
That's when you funny. Know you got me good.
Yeah. Fuck, motherfuck. Or fuck, motherfucker. I think it's fuck, motherfucker.
It might be just fuck, motherfuck.
I don't know. It depends on how it is.
Depends on the
and
level
sometimes
of startledness.
If you don't say anything and you just like look and like, uh-oh, I got him.
Yeah, when I just freeze and then stare
and
at
then,
you.
And then like stare. Yeah, I'm like, oh.
Oh, something's wrong. This was wrong. Then you're saying fuck, motherfucker.
Then I am. I'm like, ooh, slowly back away. And then I slowly back away.
I have two questions.
Okay. First, I have a disclaimer.
Let's hear it.
So I have a really good smoothie right now.
Okay.
It's yummy. I put blackberries and raspberries in it.
Did you put some of the fresh blackberries from our garden?
No, because I've ate all those. I have to go get more. These were frozen. Anyways, you know the thing that you love the most. But what is the thing that you love the most about blackberries?
Vagina.
What? What?
I'm sorry, okay. What? You said, what's the thing that I love the most?
About blackberries.
Vagina.
Okay. So those little hard seeds, all the seeds.
Yes.
And I was just in the bathroom, like, freshening up my hair. Put a little bit of...
You look beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. And I noticed I had a mouthful of blackberry seeds.
Vagina.
Okay. Listen.
Okay, blackberry
listen,
seeds.
And, yeah, so it was all in my teeth. I brushed my teeth to get them all out, but then I brought my smoothie with me because I'm going to drink it. So for the YouTubers that are watching, there's a chance that when I turn to the camera, I'm going to like have a decorative
mouthful of blackberries.
Mouthful of blackberry seeds. And yes, I'm aware of it to a point. And no, I didn't feel like it was important enough to not drink my delicious smoothie. So
you can borrow my toothpick.
I might.
To pick up out.
If I look at you and you're like, I'll know. Like,
I'll just tell you. I'll call you out.
You're like, there. It looks like you're riding a motorcycle while you were smiling.
Did you have a friend? What was that that just fell?
The cord.
Oh.
Did I have a friend?
Did you have a friend growing up, like in high school, that would
sometimes
check your teeth for you or yes, smell your breath? Or
do you know
like
what
that?
Else girls have friends for?
What?
We do a little walk pass when we're nervous, and the other one knows to look at the ass and make sure that we haven't leaked from being on a period.
Oh.
So when you see like friends and they kind of little watch and you see the other one check out her ass and then give her a little like, you're good,
mm-hmm.
That's it, because that is always a thing. So yes. Check for boogers, check for breath, check for blood.
Nice.
That is
the three B's.
Yep. Boogers, breath, and blood. Look at that. I didn't even catch that.
Bears, beets.
Battlestar.
Blood, boogers, and breath.
In fact, still do that with the daughters. We have a little. Like,
nice.
So, yeah. So we are blood checkers.
Yeah.
And for all you guys out there that can't handle that, grow fucking up. You're all right.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Not really. It is not dirty. It is natural.
Yes.
But we're still obviously don't want to walk around with bloody pants. Even though we should be fine with that. It shouldn't be such a, oh my God, thing.
Shouldn't be a big deal,
it
right?
Shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah. Everything's a big deal when you're a teenager.
I'm talking, yeah, true. I'm saying like still now, you
well,
know.
Do you need me to check your ass out and let you know every now and then? I'm happy to.
How come? I don't think I've ever asked you
you've
to
never,
do that.
You've never asked me to do
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
No.
Huh.
That's okay.
Have you ever, like, there's been the awkward, like, here's another one, shoe tying or checking your shoe for girls? Because then you, like, look at your foot and then you're sitting down and then you bend over to look at your foot and you do a quick glance between your legs. You're like, no, I'm good. Back up. like how you sneak and check for BO.
Oh.
We sneak a crotch shot in to make sure we're still good, too, if you're by yourself.
Looking at your own crotch?
Yeah, making sure it's all... The things that women do.
This is very interesting.
Or this is, menstruators, excuse me. Menstruators do. It's not just a woman thing. That was very...
Oh, you're so cute.
That didn't quite fit. So those who menstruate, that's things those that those who menstruate do.
The menstruators.
Yeah, regardless of
maybe gender. Maybe that's a new Marvel movie.
The menstruators?
Mm-hmm. It's not the Avengers, it's the menstruators. Well,
that's who you call when the Avengers need help.
Right.
It's like the Avengers need help, you bring in the menstruators. And like Thanos would have been done and like... They were scared about the snap for him, please.
There are so many.
That's why he was trying to snap. He's like, fuck.
There are so many jokes coming to me right now that we're just going to move on.
Do it.
Nope. Okay. Not at all.
I'm not close to the menstruation. You should
last
be safe.
Week. Last week's episode. Ripple Effect. Do you remember?
I do.
Sometimes we record episodes and then they disappear and we never remember what they were.
That happens frequently.
Yes, but do you remember enough of last week's episode?
I believe so, but we'll find out.
One of the things...
Is it a test? Is this trivia?
This is a test.
Okay.
Energy's Love Podcast trivia.
Okay.
Time. Episode 118.
No, it wasn't. 118. What was 118?
About 45 minutes in, the guest on episode 118
we should
said
play this.
What?
We should do that.
We should.
I should pull it up right now.
No.
It
that's
might
not
be
what
fun.
We're doing. Hold okay. on. Last week, we yes. talked about big choices that had massive ripple effects in mm-hmm. our lives. It had me thinking all week long.
All week long?
Not all week long, but the majority of the week.
Part of the week?
Part of the week. Some of the week. It had me thinking for
a
about 5 minutes. all the different choices, all the different things throughout my life that had big ripple effects. And... I was wondering if you can think of any that took place during your childhood and or adolescence, meaning up until the time of like, up until the time of your first child being born.
Okay. Am I choosing happy memories? I can think of a ton of traumas that have ripple effects.
No, choices that were
choices
made.
Choices that I made,
specific,
yes.
Not memories or experiences, but choices that you made that had... positive ripple effects that you can now see after the fact.
I have a major one, but it's very it's a very deep secret that I've shared with a very small amount of people. It's one that I have pride in, and I also have a lot of shame in.
Do you want to share it with the world now?
Share it with the world. Why not
really.
Right? It's wait, trigger warning.
Alert, alert.
Yeah, drugs. Drug addiction, drug stuff. Drug stuff.
Drug stuff.
It's drug blood.
Drug blood.
I'll probably have to make choices to get through it. So when I was
make what now?
Oh, I tried to say jokes. What did I say?
Choices?
Oh, cuz choices and jokes, I combine it. So that means my period is close. Can when I start creating new words from two different ones and like flipping
uh-huh.
things around? Let's see. I can tell you right now how close I am.
I can tell you right
thanks
now
to how close you are. Shut up. How close am I, Craig?
You're about 47 hours away.
40. Let's see. Mr. Smartass. Something's happening.
I know.
Okay. I might be closer than... I might be 47 hours. We'll see. Because I'm feeling like, we gonna fight?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm aware. Shields up.
My next period in 3 days.
3 days.
3 days.
72 hours.
So, yeah.
It's 47.
And so, 40 probably is 47.
46 hours.
We'll loop back
54
around
minutes.
And see if this is the case. I'm still in a good mood, though.
Good.
My boobs don't hurt, so maybe this will be an easy one.
Good. Hooray for the not boobs hurting.
And, like, I'm not cramping already.
Anyways.
I'm just like, you got to celebrate these moments. When it's like, because a lot of times you get really fucked up before
yeah.
a period, so I can celebrate this. I'm like, ooh, so far so good. That's a good sign. Maybe this one's going to be a little easier on my body.
Right.
Here's another one for you.
Okay.
Just like, there are times that appendicitis gets misdiagnosed in women.
Because of cramps?
Because they ignore it because cramps.
Wow.
So they feel that there have been cases where it is ruptured and they thought it was a cyst or cramps. and haven't gone in until it was prom. Can you believe, like, let that sink in for a minute. When women are like, oh, I got cramps. And you're like, does it hurt? Like, we could have appendicitis and rule it off as a period.
Yeah, I'm not negating
the menstruators. We're some tough people.
Menstruators assemble.
Right? Have I stalled long? I had coffee this morning. I'm excited you are that stalling. I'm starting to be able to. We can
move
to...
on.
No, I'll say it.
Okay.
But I'm still celebrating the fact that my body is healing enough that I'm starting to be able to have a little bit of coffee.
Yeah.
And that I'm able to start eating meat again. So cheers to my body.
Right.
Okay. Big choice in my life.
That came to you immediately when I asked the question. So what is it?
So I've talked about trauma on this podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
It's trauma that I had as a young child and a teenager, which led me down a road of self-medicating. So I got introduced to meth when I was 16. And I started using it when I was 16. I quit when I was 17. So that's kind of, that's a huge deal.
That's like, a very big deal.
But I had that period of time where I got really, really lost, really far down the rabbit hole, really strong in addiction, ran away from home, was living with different people, really shitty situations, really bad situations. And a lot of bad things happened during that time because when anybody, but I can only speak for a teenager's perspective, is addicted to drugs, something as dangerous as meth, they don't find themselves in loving environments and safe environments. So a lot of bad things happen. But I was there was this girl that I was friends, because your friends are users and it's all these unhealthy dynamics. And this girl that I was friends with, we ended up being at the tennis. Was it like, it was at the tennis courts. It was at the park in Twilla, and there were tennis courts and we were parking there. And I had never used needles. I'd never shot up, never. And she hadn't either. And we were both really deep into the addiction. She had been using since she was like 14. So she was much more.
She had a couple more years experience. A
couple more years. But her and I had ended up getting really close in that cluster toxic way. And we were all kinds of shit together. But she hadn't done it either. We were sitting in the car and we were both all messed up. But she said that she did it the night before for the first time.
Shut up.
And it was like, she's like, it was like one of the first time I used. And I decided, she was like, do you want to? And in that moment, I was like, yeah. So I made the decision to do it. And which is terrifying, right? And then she says, I only had this needle, but I cleaned it really good. And that was enough for my fucked up brain to say no. So that was the defining moment right there when I had enough. And then I did not do it, because that wasn't just cleaning a needle really good, wasn't safe enough. So at least I had like that help that came in. And then I never did it. She did, and it wasn't long after that I started to get my shit together. Like, that was such a defining moment, and I started to get my shit together, and I stopped using. She continued on, and unfortunately, she has passed away.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So.
From drug-related, you think, for the most part, or do you know?
I heard that it was an overdose.
Yeah.
But...
probably some sort of suicide, huh?
It was years ago, and you know how people spin stuff?
Yeah.
So whether or not that's true or not, I don't know. Which really, I will not say her name because I don't know. Regardless, it was fucked up and it shouldn't have happened to her. But that was a huge defining moment where I said, no, I made that shift when everything was leading me that way, even like the thought process. And had there been a clean needle, I hope I still wouldn't have, but I know that decision, I was like, yeah, here we go. And I said no to that. So that makes me feel super gross and scared to share, but
I'm glad you did share. I'm
also gonna look at myself and be like, you know what? It's okay. It's a part of where I was.
Part of the reason
I said no.
Yeah. part of the reason I ask again, and it had me thinking after our episode last week, was I think about, I mean, how many times do we have topics that we talk about or things that come up, and not just on the podcast, but in literally our everyday life, where we talk about all the different things that play a role, because it's never a singular thing, right? It's mm-hmm. never one thing. It's always a multitude of things. And it had me thinking about the multitude of things that affect the decision-making process and affect our decision-making process. Because sometimes it's easy to just look at them as these beautiful, divinely guided, energetic, synchronistic events that take place. And then eventually we choose to go right instead of left, like almost 50-50 chance that we're going to do one or the other. But for whatever reason, we end up going right and it makes all the difference, right? Yeah. Makes the big change. And how many things are actually at play in regards to that decision. So that's a really good example of like a huge moment in your life where you made a decision that led you down a different path and towards a different thing and resulted in a completely different life, right?
Yeah.
And it's like how many, because I think it's luck.
Yeah.
I think it's energy. I think it's support from like the people that love us, meaning like, I mean, I believe that the people that love us and the people that pass are walking along with us
yeah.
all the time, right?
Yeah, never. I definitely had some help in that moment.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's a multitude of different things all the time in regards to these decisions. And it's never just like, I did the hard thing and I made the decision. Yes, you did, of course. But how many things played a role?
Yeah.
So I have one.
I want to hear it.
It's nowhere, I mean.
That doesn't, don't even finish that.
Well, it's a completely different thing. But it just, because I didn't have a answer to this question. It was something that I had just been thinking. But then when you shared that, this popped into my head because it was very much a decision in the moment. And I'm nervous. No, I'm not nervous. I'm just kind of slightly embarrassed because you'll see.
Okay.
It's not a big deal. And I'm trying to, I'm so nervous that I'm trying to avoid it now. And I'm trying to decide if it's really not a big deal and this is a stupid response to the question, but that's okay. I'll respond anyways. I'll respond to my question that I asked. I was in high school. I don't remember how old I was. I was probably a junior or a senior, maybe 17 or 18. Maybe 18. I don't fucking remember. I wish I could remember exactly how old I was. Anyways, it's not super important. I was a teenager and I was dating a girl and she was one of the, she's the girl that gave me, my first blowjob and kind of had the most, sexual interaction with this girl. I used to sneak into her room at night. She lived in she lived in that place that we drive through every time that we take Asher to work in the morning.
Okay.
And so I would go out there in the middle of the night and she would open up her window and drop down a
Was that her hair's fucking Rapunzel?
It was not
Rapunzel. My God.
No, it was a stool. It was like a bar stool that she would drop down. And I would use the stool to climb up into her window. And her bed was like right up against her window. So I climbed up into, through the window and into her bed.
Okay.
And we only did that.
Parents around the globe listening to this, they're checking the placement of their daughter's beds. Like, nope.
I can only think of one time that I did that, but part of me thinks I did it more than once.
Yeah.
And I think I only did it once, maybe because I was so fucking nervous.
Right.
So fucking nervous. I could not relax.
Yeah.
She was very like, it's okay. You know, like just relax. Like she was like,
your dad's going to kill me.
Yeah. The whole time I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like,
this is not okay.
I'm so fucking dead.
He loves you. You'll live. I'm going to die.
And I like every sound that the house would make, I'd be like, what the fuck was that? Right. Creaking the floor, a fucking car backfiring two towns over. Motherfucker, motherfucker. I could not relax.
Fuck, motherfucker. You just said it.
Yeah. So I think I may have only done that once. Anyways, this girl, we dated for a while, and we got to the point where we were at my house this time, and we were home alone. There was nobody home. And we had been fooling around and got to the point where we were going to have sex. And she was laying in my bed naked. And
in your bed?
In my bed.
Oh, so it's not when you were at her house?
No, this one was when I was at my house.
Okay.
And she's laying in my bed naked, and I'm like fully, like it's clear that we're going to have sex.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably even had the conversation, even though good. I, like,
consent conversation in the 90s. Good for you.
I don't, you know how brains work, right? Maybe we didn't, but it was obvious that we were going to have sex, and it wasn't something that was shady or anything like that. It was a completely consensual experience. And I remember, because I was in my underwear, I even remember the underwear that I had on. It was a pair of boxers that had eagles on it and like blue clouds and eagles flying. And it was like those boxers that I hate that don't have a, they just have a opening in the front. So it's not like a flap or anything like that. There's some boxers that, anyways, go ahead.
I don't understand. Like just an opening, not a flap? Like,
I mean, it's a close, but there's no like button. There's no crossover really. So it's kind of just like a very light seam. That
doesn't seem safe.
You basically just go and then your dick's out. Okay. So you can use your dick.
All right.
And so I'm like walking towards the bed knowing that I'm like about to have sex with this girl and I need to take off my underwear. And I just remember this moment of like, should I take off my boxers and get into bed with her? If I take off my boxers, then we're definitely going to have sex. And I remember thinking, I mean, I liked this girl. Mm-hmm. But I had this moment, this like frozen moment that lasted forever where I pictured and saw the rest of my life with this girl if she got pregnant and how I would have to have her in my life for the rest of my life if we had a child together. It wasn't, oh, we're going to get married, or it wasn't any of that. It was just like, if we make a baby, she's going to be involved in my life for the rest of my life. And in that moment, I said, fuck no. Like in my head, I'm like, I do not want that. And so I got into bed with my boxers on and we just continued to like fool around and we did not have sex. And I made the decision to not do that in that moment. And I think about all the different, because it's not that big of a deal on one hand, right? I mean, I had sex for the first time probably a year later or something like that. So it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was like, I think it's not to say that if we had had sex that I would have gotten her pregnant and then my life would have been completely different. Right?
I don't know. As intuition, you might have.
There's a possibility.
Yeah.
Obviously. But I think one of the bigger factors that would have changed everything was because I know from experience that like when I did have sex for the first time, then it changed everything after the fact. And if it would have changed everything after the fact, at that point in my life, like when I was still in high school and still then, I think everything would have been very, very different.
Yeah.
And so it's like, once you have sex, it's kind of like no going back, right? Every relationship after the fact is like, why aren't we having sex?
Okay.
And eventually you just work towards sex in some regards. So I'm glad that I didn't have that dynamic in like the pursuit of relationships and dating women until I was a little bit older, even though it was only like a year, year and a half or something. Because I think it would have been too much for me to deal with in high school.
I hear you.
What? You have a response.
I do have a response, but I hate that there's a response. Something needs to be clarified that you said.
Okay.
But like, first continue. I will touch on that because I feel like it's important. It's going to bring up another trigger warning.
Touch on it.
I want you to finish. It hit me. And so it was like, oh, like I wanted to correct it immediately, but.
No, I'm done. I really am. I'm that's just my long answer to the question. I think that was a big decision that I made in the moment.
It was. It was a big decision.
And it could have been very different.
It could have.
So. If the woman, she's a woman now. If the woman that is listening, or if you're listening to this and you know who you are, and you realize that in what I'm talking about, that's you. I don't know what to say. Thank you. Or what do I say? I think I need to apologize. I should apologize to that girl.
If you think so, then do it.
Yeah, I was a jerk to her at the end.
At the end?
Yeah, the relationship. I was a bit of a jerk. I was a lot of a jerk. She's not listening. But if she is, for some reason.
If you were a big jerk, she might not be listening.
Yeah. If for some reason she is listening, I'm sorry. I was a jerk. I was. I treated her poorly at the end because I was a jerk and I didn't know how to deal with my emotions.
Yeah.
Anyways, what were you going to say?
Because
I feel fucking awkward as shit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay. Like saying those things are hard.
Yeah.
You said like after you have sex, there's no going back. That after you've had sex and it's like when we're having sex and I have... You are, there's nothing wrong with you feeling that.
Yeah.
You get your feelings. I have issues with that though. Not with you feeling the way you feel, but with that dynamic. It's like once you have sex, there's no going back. And then how women feel that once they have sex, there's, especially in this Mormon state, and I'm sure it's way bigger than that, but I can only speak of experience from what I've experienced, then there's nothing special about you. Like you're supposed to save your virtue till marriage. And if something happens beforehand, like there's nothing special about you. There's nothing like you've ruined that. You're now dirty. You've been deflowered. So once you have sex, there's no going back. I've tried to install in our kids that that's not true because I've mentioned before, I said the trigger warning that my virginity was taken from me when I was 13. I didn't lose it. It wasn't something that like, you know, you lose your virginity. It wasn't something that I offered up. It was taken from me. And after that, it was such a fucked up situation anyways. But after that, the thought that I had was there's nothing special about me now. So it doesn't matter what I do. And I continue just to spiral out. And I didn't have respect for my body. I didn't have respect for myself. I sure as hell wasn't learning how to respect myself from anything. But that mentality, if I didn't have that mentality, I don't know what could have been different if I didn't have that mentality and how maybe my life could have been better or maybe I'd have been able to speak up about things. But it was like, oh, that's it. There's nothing special about me now. So now I'm just trash. So that thought of, well, after you've had sex, there's no going back. I'm like, that's false. That is false. It is not. Like, there's always a choice. Unless, obviously, somebody takes the choice from you. But from then on, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not gross. You're still special. If you have no sex, some sex, all the sex, you're still special.
It's all good, right?
Yeah. You're still special and you're still valid and you still have worth. Always have worth.
I wasn't speaking about it from that perspective, obviously.
I know. That's just what I heard.
Yeah. And like for me, it's from the perspective of there was a big shift that happened when I had sex.
Yeah.
And then it's not that everything became about sex at that point, but every relationship after that, every interaction that had any sort of physical interaction or intimacy or whatever the fuck we want to call it. I don't even know if intimacy is the right word from... Definitely not a lot of intimacy back in the day.
Sex and intimacy are two different things. They can be in the same thing, but they are not the same thing.
Yeah, especially when you're like 19 years old.
Right.
But everything became about sex after that. And okay. So that's what I meant by there was no going back because it was...
Was that your mindset though? Was that...
It wasn't
was that
my mindset. It was just a... Like I remember the next relationship after that relationship.
Okay.
Meaning the next relationship after the relationship that I had where I lost my virginity.
Mm-hmm. Did you lose it or did you give it away? Or was it Taken?
The first time that I had sex, the relationship that I had sex for the first time in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't lose it. I gave it freely.
That's a difference.
Yeah, it was a beautiful experience. See? That's another podcast. Anyways, the next relationship and the next relationship and the next relationship after that, it wasn't... The unknown was no longer unknown. So I wasn't as nervous and or scared, even though I was always scared about sex. But it was like, it's not to say that like just making out and that kind of stuff wasn't good enough, because that's not the feeling of what it was. It was like there was always a place that like I had fear and nerves and anxiety about going to, meaning sex. And then once I went there, it was, I was less afraid to go there again. So then when I was dating somebody and things got to that point, it was very easy to continue to the point of having sex. And I mean, I think after I had sex for the first time, every relationship after that, I never didn't have sex.
Yeah.
Like I never, you know, mm-hmm. had a relationship that did not involve sex after that fact. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am.
Yeah.
If I sit and really think about it. So that's what I meant by kind of like no going back. Mm-hmm. Not to say that you can't reclaim that part if it's something that you feel, you know, the need to, or it gets to be anything and everything for everybody.
Yeah.
So that's just my experience. You okay?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question.
That was a good question.
Yeah. So my other questions seem really stupid now.
That's good. I could use something lighter.
Yeah?
Yeah. Give me your stupid questions.
I was thinking about how many people are on the planet. There's a lot.
Okay.
Like 7 billion, probably. How many? Okay, Google. What's the world's population? Let's find out. Nice.
Okay. Worldometer.
So yeah, almost 8 billion people on this planet. I was thinking the other day, what percentage of the world's population, what percentage of that 8 billion people think and or concern themselves with, whether it's like educating themselves about it, knowing about it, worrying about it, stressing about it, doing something about it in regards to the big problems that face the world globally? So big world global problems and issues, climate change, war,
hunger, sex hunger, trafficking,
all of these big global issues that we face, right? Racism. What percentage of the world's population do you think know about them, educate themselves, worry about them, do something about them? Do you know what I mean? What do you think?
Well, we need to figure out how many Republicans are out there and factor them out. Straight white guys, factor them out. The rest of the world. Now, I've only got that smart. I feel like it's, I feel like everybody, right? Except for, you know, little kids until they start to get bigger and start to learn more. And then I'm like, yeah. But you said like educate about themselves about, care about. And I guess that's not everybody. That's not, I have no idea. Does Google know that answer?
I think even aware.
Aware?
I think the real, because I thought about this for a while. And I think the reality is it's probably an incredibly small percentage.
Really? I think it's a big percentage.
I think it's probably like maybe 5% of the world's population.
Wow. I see that differently.
I think that there's probably a higher percentage of awareness.
Yeah.
But even that is probably somewhere in the range of maybe like 20%.
Hmm.
And actually do something about it is a super low percentage, right?
Yeah.
But... it's all going to be sliding scales, right? There's like maybe 20% of the world's population has awareness of these bigger issues. We'll just use climate change.
Okay.
Even though I'm not talking only about climate change, right? Maybe 20 to 25% of the world's population is aware of this phenomenon of climate change.
Really?
And out of that 25%, maybe 15% prioritize it as something that they are passionate about, and they try to educate themselves about the issues, and they're constantly trying to stay on top of it in regards to their information and their knowledge and what they're kind of learning about and focusing on. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's 10 or 15% of that. And then there's probably 3% that actually do something about it. And I'm not talking about recycling.
Yeah.
Recycling isn't doing anything for climate change.
Well, now that we have more information about recycling, but when right. before when we recycled, I thought I was doing something.
Yeah.
It's just now that we know better.
Yeah.
I still think try and recycle. There are things.
If it makes us feel better. So recycle because it makes you feel better. Because that's literally all that it
zero.
Does.
Zero. I don't think it's zero.
Zero.
For it somebody who's so nothing. Optimistic, you're really cynical.
I'm also a pragmatist.
Pragmatist?
I'm very pragmatic. You're pragmatic?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we'll go with that. I don't agree with your numbers. I don't know what they are, but I just...
Well, I don't either, obviously.
I know you don't, but
so
my...
So speculate, what do you think it is?
I think I will say the opposite, the exact opposite of you.
In regards to climate change. Mm-hmm. So how many people are aware that it's a thing?
I think I will say the exact opposite. I'll say 80%, but I think that's actually a low number. I think
really?
It's more. And that might just be my...
Think about the amount of the world that does not have access to the internet.
Okay.
Okay. And then think about the amount of the world that has access to the internet, mm-hmm. but also is limited in regards to what that internet access looks like and well, or what they
true.
Are looking at.
Yeah, I feel...
If I live in I a hope hut I'm right. or a shack or a shanty...
You're seeing your environment change, though.
Correct.
So you're still, you
but
have
I'm not
awareness.
Looking at the global picture. I'm not aware I of feel climate
like,
change.
I feel like if you're in a hut and you're living off the land and you don't have the internet and you are seeing your environment change, that you're more aware than us internet surfers because you're seeing it change. You're feeling it. You're seeing the effects. And maybe you don't have the words global warming, but you know something is off. Something is not right.
I
and something is changing. And you're, that's okay.
I really don't think
we
that's
disagree.
The case. I think that
we agree to disagree.
Those people that are feeling the effects of it firsthand mm-hmm. are probably being, because it's like the information that gets shared during that time, or information typically is passed down from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. So generationally, it's going to be like, yeah, this is what happens. We go through droughts. We go through periods of this. We go through periods of that.
Yeah, but the amount of the food, because it's still coming in for outsource, the food's getting less healthy. It's coming in. They're probably starting to see more illnesses. So I still disagree. I mean, I don't know. I
so there's
don't
another
know,
factor.
But I don't agree.
There's another factor that I okay. thought about. What's what that? Level, what percentage of the world's population is are in an activated state? So, I mean, just to make it simpler, like are in a fight or flight response based out of their survival all the time. So they're always activated because of their survival, right?
Yeah.
So that's a norm
that's very high.
For a lot of the world's population and yeah. or cultures across the globe. So if you're in an activated state and life is only about survival, mm-hmm. are you really Googling global warming? Are you really spending a lot of time thinking about fucking climate change? Are you even fucking aware that that's a fucking issue when your only issue is how do I get clean water for my family? Where do I find food for my family?
And see, that's why I think yes, because you're like the clean water's running out. The food's running out. So I think you are aware like there's less now. There's less. Something's wrong.
Think about when we're super activated.
Yeah.
Everything is super tunnel visioned.
I get worried about the water supply.
Everything becomes very
I
much.
I literally get worried about the water supply.
Right. So I think that's another big factor is that because a large portion of the world's population is chronically and consistently in a fight or flight response,
yeah.
they're probably not super concerned about these other bigger issues. Or I shouldn't even say bigger issues because everybody's life is their own, right? Those mm-hmm. are really big fucking issues to the people in the moment and mm-hmm. the individual. These global issues, we make them a big issue. Because the reality is we live in America where we can turn on lights and we have clean drinking water and we live in an air-conditioned home and yeah. we have a safe environment and or existence for the most part.
Yeah.
So we have the luxury.
There's a lot of other places with electricity in the world.
We have the luxury of being able to concern ourselves with global warming and or plastic in the ocean.
Well, so if that's your take on it, I guess I can agree with that. But I also think while we have the luxury, it's also because we are the causation
of
like what? This shit that the pollution, the plastics, the toxins, all of that. So like
big corporation.
Yeah, I still think
big corporations are the cause of all of those things.
Great. Well, yes, big corporations are the cause, and non-big corporations can also still make a difference.
I agree.
Yeah. I think this one person can make a difference.
This was just an interesting thing that popped into my head. I'm like, I think it's really, really low. I mean, the percentage of people across the globe that are really aware and or concerned with these big global issues, I think it's super low. And I think that's why we don't see more of a change.
I think there's a lot of people that are trying to make a change, and I think it's high. And I think that fighting big corporations is extremely difficult because money controls everything.
Agreed.
So I think the awareness is there. But think
about the buying power of 8 billion people.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like
if we had 8 billion people on board with something.
There's like, I saw a thing. There's something that's like the 4 people that have the most money in the world. Jeff Bezos.
Gates.
Gates.
Oprah.
No, Oprah was not on that. Quick. Because I'm forgetting. Bezos, Gates, Elon. There was one more. Regardless. I can't remember. But they have the most money, like, in the world. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about the buying power, like, they have the majority of the money in the world.
Yeah.
So those 4 people can outdo the planet. Like, so when you think about the buying power of 8 billion people, like, all of these people have more money, way more money than there are people on the planet. So I don't know about the buying power of 8 billion people, because these 4 rich white guys basically have more money than anybody else. So I don't.
So I pulled up Forbes.
Who is it?
Richest for 2021. Excuse me. Number 1, Jeff Bezos, mm-hmm. founder of Amazon. All around cocksucker. Number 2, Elon. Mm-hmm. Net worth of Jeff is $1.77 billion.
Oh, the thing I had more than that.
Billion.
Okay.
Elon at number 2 comes in at 177.
Okay, I was going to say, the numbers I saw were much larger than that.
Yeah, I'm just used to saying 1 point when you get up into those big numbers. Like $1 billion. Yeah, no, Jeff Bezos is $177 billion.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Elon.
There should not be world problems with that much money in the world.
Elon comes in at $151 billion.
Okay.
Fuck.
And that's the third one that I can't remember.
Yeah, the third one is Bernard Arnault and family.
Oh, that wasn't who it was.
$150 billion.
Okay.
Gates.
What does he do? Bernard.
One of the world's ultimate tastemakers. That's a fucking dumb.
That is a dumb
thing. That's one of them made up. Hold on. Bernard Arnault oversees an empire of 70 brands, including Louis Vuitton and Sephora.
I feel like that's not the person, but maybe it's just because I couldn't remember.
Number 4 is Gates at $124 billion. Mm-hmm. And number 5 is the android Mark Zuckerberg at $97
billion. Damn. See? Okay, so we'll even say the top 5.
And no women. All... No women in the top 10.
There's no room, except for white men only. It's funny, too. Like, where are all those people from?
Out of the top 5?
Yes.
They're all from America, that was, with the exception rhetorical. Of Bernard.
Okay. Well, I can't seem He's to remember him. I wish I could find, like, the list is, like, accurate to that, but I don't remember who the third person was, but I'm not like, oh, that's who it was, because it's, anyways, it doesn't matter. I can't quote it. I can't. But so I think like the buying power of 8 billion people doesn't hold a candle to them.
You don't find a woman until number 12.
Who is it?
Francoise Betancourt Myers.
Attagirl.
She's the granddaughter of the founder of L'Oreal and the richest woman in the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. L'Oreal is also said to be cruelty-free. Where they are, and I
which
don't know.
Is bullshit. It's like
I hope that's
it's like
true.
Cruelty-free tuna or dolphin-free tuna doesn't Whoa. Fucking exist. That's there is true. No cruelty-free anything.
I was just about to buy your serum, L'Oreal.
Sorry.
I guess I can't.
Sucks to be you.
Let's go back to like I know I would make a difference in their world.
I'm almost like I'm pretty adamant that I'm correct.
Well, you usually
I'm sure
are.
You're surprised, right?
Yeah, I'm like, that's not yeah, a, that's, there's nothing new.
It's shocking. You mean you think you're right? That's weird. That never happens. No, but I think about 8 billion people as so many people.
Yeah, and you're giving them like maybe
India,
20%.
India has like almost 2 billion people.
And you think they have no concept?
I don't think they, no, I think they, I'm talking majority.
Okay.
Right? That's the thing is when you go this big mm-hmm. at 8 billion, a million people is nothing. Okay. A million people is
nothing.
Yeah,
but you're saying 20% maybe have awareness.
Yeah. And what's, okay, Google.
I just don't agree with that.
What's 20% of 8 billion? Let's find out.
The answer is
1.6 billion is 20%.
Yeah. So
I need to readjust.
7.4 billion people just have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, yeah. It's okay that you do, but I
think 1.6 is too high.
You think it's too high?
Yeah. Especially wow. when it comes to like, because I'm not just talking about
Care
climate
Bear
change.
Stare? Like,
I don't think it's a negative
I'm
thing.
I'm going to throw positivity at you.
I don't think it's a negative thing.
Stop. I'm giving you the Care Bear stare. Soak
Let's
it in.
See it. Oh my God. I have to take a picture. No. Keep your Care Bear stare. It's so cute.
There we go. Except for my face. I don't know where to look now.
Here we go.
I can't do it.
Do it. Care Bear stare. Give it. Awesome.
Do I have raspberries in my teeth?
No, you do not.
Okay. Well.
I don't bring this up to be negative or like, you know, pessimistic. Like we're all fucked. I just think it's a reality check. I think we fool ourselves into thinking. Like right now, you're using a metal straw.
Yes, I am.
And I think we fool ourselves into thinking that if we get rid of plastic straws, that makes a difference.
And I think plastics in general, and I understand that it's actually the fishing that is taking out the mm-hmm. ocean life, but plastics are also not helping. Why not? Why? It's all the little things that add up. You're like buying power of 8 billion people, but fuck plastic straws. If you believe in the buying power of 8 billion people, why don't you believe in the action power of 8 billion people?
I do. That's what I'm trying to point out.
Okay.
Is I think, because if you think about all the information that we gather from in news media and all the ways that we gather information, you and I specifically, we'll just use you and I. Okay. I think we're probably very similar to the average American, right?
Yes. Are we?
Just in regards to the way that we gather information.
Okay. I was like, I don't think we're...
Yeah, we're a lot different than the average American.
We do not fit in around these parts.
We get tailored information for
us. That's fact.
And that tailored information in regards to these global issues are exactly that, tailored. And the idea that the rest of the world sees these global issues the way that we do is 100% naive. And so I think we need a reality check in regards to a lot of these big issues.
Okay.
And if we really want to affect change, mm-hmm. we have to think about that dynamic, that there is such a large population of the world that mm-hmm. does not see these things, first off, even see them.
Yeah.
Second off, if they are shown these big global issues, don't give a fuck.
I think we get them way smaller than the actual world. Okay.
And so it's like the idea that we're going to change the world mm-hmm. as soon as we can all get on board with climate change is very, very, very naive. It's the whole idea of like, how do we present that issue specifically? And even though we're talking about all of these grander, bigger issues, right? Mm-hmm. World hunger, peace in the Middle East, Palestine, racism, and
sex trafficking,
all of these bigger issues, right? Mm-hmm. how do we help the individual mm-hmm. person or the individual culture House across the globe see these issues as impactful for them? Global warming is one that impacts all of us.
Yes.
But if you don't see how it directly impacts you in these, I'm not just saying third world countries, because
I hope not.
There's definitely countries that are not third world countries that aren't aware of global warming. And also, if they are, they don't give a fuck about it.
We're still trying to recover from the shit. Yeah.
So it's like we really have to change up not just messaging, but the viewpoint that we have about these issues and how we're going to affect change.
Okay. I agree with that.
Because I really think that it has all been tailored towards a specific narrative. And that narrative is fed to us and tailored for us. And so until we realize that our narrative, hence our belief that we have, like the narrative that was fed to us that led to us believing this thing, was tailor-made mm-hmm. and basically propaganda us mm-hmm. to lead us to this point.
Okay.
So we think recycling or getting rid of plastic bags in California is going to make a single bit of fucking difference in the global picture.
I think it helps. And I think it really doesn't. And I think that the more people, I think that mindset is what the problem is.
And what I'm talking about is the mindset that thinking that plastic bags are going to change anything is the problem.
I think
that is a narrative that has been fed to us to keep us distracted from the reality of the fact that these ginormous international, intercontinental
cultures
and companies.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So they're like, look at plastics.
Yeah.
So you're not seeing what we're doing, which is all of this problem.
Yeah. And they gaslight the fuck out of society.
Okay, that is actually true. I believe that.
Every marketing campaign, everything that they push is our fault because we don't recycle.
Okay.
Our fault because we're not doing our part.
I agree with
all of that. Do your part mm-hmm. to help the world. Motherfucker, my part of recycling and or not using plastic bags is like one star in the galaxy of stars. Mm. And the galaxy of stars is these rich motherfucking companies that are the cause of pollution for this planet.
True. But it starts with one step. I agree with you completely. They are definitely, it's not like, it's not because I think.
The step that we think it starts with.
I have opinions too, mister.
Is a step that was given to us to keep us blind.
That's not what I think. I think the step that was given to us is fact. And I think what they did is set up a fall guy. So there is just enough truth that that's where all attention goes. So I still think that the plastic use needs to be adjusted. I still think there are so many things that are on board that we have awareness of that need to keep going. And what I was saying, it's the big corporations. We just disagree. Don't need to get all mad.
I'm not mad at all. I just, I'm feeling pretty passionate about you the need for people to change the way that they look at things.
I agree.
I'm going to pull up
I agree with that.
Website for everybody to go to.
And JoeRogan.com.
It's not JoeRogan.com. Hold on now.
ElonMusk.org.
No, keep talking.
Keep talking? So you can disagree with everything? It's okay, I'm disagreeing with you too. I think we are 90% on the same page.
That means that you agree that a very small percentage of people.
No. I think you and I are 90% on the same page. I think it's a large percentage, and I think the little things do matter, but we need to not stop at the little things. And yes,
are you
we
ready?
Need to change the way we think. Yes.
So, I mean, we definitely got squirreled away.
I just fucking hurt my tooth on this goddamn metal straw.
Right there. We need to ban metal straws. They're dangerous.
I might knock a tooth out with that people. Son of a bitch. Jesus. Is it cracked?
It's
am I okay?
Secret anti-dentist campaigns that are now that propagating hurt. Plastic straws because of the danger of metal straws.
I'm going to take a drink from my plastic water bottle now.
So Abby
it
Martin.
Washable.
Abby Martin is an independent journalist. Mm-hmm. And yes, I did hear her on Rogan, but she speaks truth, and there's a lot of truth out there, and it's the type of truth that isn't conspiracy and or fed by crazy people. She seems to be fairly normal. Anyways, the website is earthsgreatestenemy.com.
I'm going to go look.
So here's... Earth's
greatest enemy. Yeah. It's people.
Hold on. Okay. Ready?
Yes.
Because this quote comes from a book written by Professor Barry Sanders, the author of The Green Zone, The Environmental Costs of Militarism. Here's the quote.
Okay.
Here's the awful truth. Even if every person, every automobile, and every factory suddenly admitted zero emissions, the Earth would still be headed headfirst and at full speed toward total disaster for one major reason. The U.S. military.
Okay. You know, I saw, so where the fuck was it? I got to find these things.
In the documentary that she's making is that the U.S. military industrial complex
is they spend responsible more money than
for
anything else in the world.
Is the largest by a ton, like the number one producer of greenhouse gas / toxic everything that is destroying the planet.
That's why we have chemical warfare.
Is because of this U.S. military industrial complex.
Yes. Okay, I agree with that.
If you agree with that, plastic bags aren't the fucking problem.
So here we go. So you dismantle the military, okay? Everything goes away. All of their stuff, we're going to put all the stuff. But then are you going to say that plastics and all the factories and all the emissions are no longer going to also play a role? They're not saying that this stuff isn't harmful. They're just saying it pales in comparison to these other things. All of these things still need to be acknowledged.
I understand. I agree. I'm not denying that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is we are fooling ourselves. And like literally we are thinking about not just things in a too small form or fashion, but we're thinking and focusing on the wrong fucking things. It's not to say they aren't important.
But they're still important. It's not all or nothing.
It is the wrong fucking attention and focus.
If
we're really going to change things,
yeah,
it's not going to be with these small-minded, I shouldn't say small-minded, that insinuates that people that think these things are stupid. That's not what I'm saying. It's foolish, I think, to believe that if we continue to focus on these smaller pieces of the puzzle, that somehow we're going to change the puzzle.
I think everything starts somewhere.
I agree that everything starts somewhere.
I believe in the power of momentum.
Yes.
And I'm not saying let's only focus at the plastics. Absolutely not.
So this goes back to what I'm talking about. Okay. We have 8 billion people on this planet.
Okay.
The power of momentum that 8 billion people can produce can change everything.
I agree.
Easily. Mm-hmm. Right? So how do we influence and affect and educate and inform 8 billion people about some of these bigger global issues?
Because the people that are in charge of that information is the Mark Zuckerbergs that are getting paid from all of this and making all the... So I don't know how to get the people the information, because the information that has been given is... Mm-hmm. I agree with you. It is tailored. It is tailored. It is very much you are steered in the direction that they want you to flow. Mm-hmm. And so you have to like start breaking out of those boxes and being willing to hear other people's opinions and doing your own research and digging down rabbit holes, which we do have the luxury of doing, but not everybody does.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, our podcast reaches a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right. And we actually have a lot of people that listen to the podcast in India for some reason. Whatever. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much if you're tuning in from India. Give us a shout out. Tag us on Instagram. But if you're in some area of the world and you're hearing this podcast, the encouragement is to seek out information from alternate sources than what you commonly do. And that's a hard thing to do, especially given the way that we're fed information, because the information that we're fed is tailored for us.
Yeah. So not maybe just share by, with us too.
Not just by big corporations and organizations, but also by the algorithms that these corporations and social media apps use, obviously. Mm-hmm. We all know that. So the goal and the challenge and the thing that hopefully we can encourage you to do is to seek out different sources of information, specifically than ones, like different than the ones that you specifically follow on a regular basis, mm-hmm. or the ones that you specifically go to for your information, even if you feel confident that that information is accurate, and it very well may be accurate. But I think that's one of the biggest things, is we have to start thinking about alternate sources for information, because the main sources that we get are fucked. They're just fucked.
I agree with
it's that. It's no longer pretending that they're on the up and up. Yeah. It is a fucked system.
I don't trust that
with
stuff.
Information that has been 100% tailored for us.
I agree.
To make us feel safe and make us feel comfortable and
us
or
scared
scare
so
us
we can control us.
So that we continue to spend money.
Yeah.
That's it.
Smoke and mirrors got us over here. These threats, these fears, not seeing all of this. Yeah. I agree completely.
That's the challenge.
All right.
That's the takeaway from today's episode of the Energy is Love podcast. Thank you. Tune in next week for more information that may or may not be true.
More opinions from Craig and Steph. <That's> Changing the world one opinion at a time.
There you go. It's not the Avengers, it's the menstruators. Well,
that's who you call when the Avengers need help.
Right?
It's drug blood.
Drug blood.
Fuck, motherfucker! What is the thing that you love the most about blackberries?
Vagina.